Okay, good morning, church. Welcome to those worshiping with us online. So glad that you are here and a part of our church as well. I want to start the morning with two questions. I got two questions for you. Here's question number one. Can you think of a time in your life, can you remember, when someone was incredibly angry at you? A little bit of nervous laughter in there, I'm not going to lie. Question number two. Can you think of a time when you were incredibly angry with someone else? So I can think of both. Now, the first one I want to tell you is when someone was incredibly angry with me. It's so visceral in my mind, I got to draw it on a diagram for you. It was several years ago, I was teaching at like a college retreat or a college ministry down in Palm Springs. And it was the night before the last message and we were all going out in downtown Palm Springs. There was a massive street fair and we were in a jam-packed parking lot that I just want to diagram for you, okay? So the parking lot was like this. It had spots all around, as you might imagine a parking lot would have, but not that many spots, and it was very crowded. And then it had a row of spots in the center section, right? Spots right here. And I was coming down, I was about right here. There was actually more spots in there. I was about right here. There was a car behind me. There was another car behind me. There's another car behind me. And I was right behind somebody else. And a guy in a car in about this spot right here put his reverse lights on. He was about to get ready to back up. And so what you might imagine is I was thinking, awesome, because I was right here. This is my car. This is Tyler. I had a car full of college students. And so we were like sweet, super crowded, places teeming. Although one problem, this guy right here, now look where he is situated. This guy right here, guess what he did? He put on his reverse lights. And what was weird is like, I said, he can't be serious. Because then I looked in my rearview mirror, I was like, I've got three or four cars behind me. And I'm like, he can't reasonably expect me and every car behind me to back up so that he can pull into a parking space that he's already passed. I mean, this is breaking every rule of parking lot etiquette, is it not? So I could see him. He looks in his rearview mirror as he's, you know, inches back just a little bit. And I just look at him and go like, I mean, there's nothing I can do. I'll never forget what he did. This car's waiting. He's blocked. This guy puts it into drive, peels out, goes down here, screeches, goes all the way around the entire thing. And as this car is backing out, you know, getting ready to pull out this way, he uses that screen. I don't know if he pulled an e-brake. He screeches around and comes in and takes the spot. Right around all these people, I was like, I couldn't believe it. And it didn't end there. I was sitting there going like, I just witnessed something that I never thought, I'll never forget. I knew I would never forget it. He gets out. He starts coming at me. He's screaming. He's calling me names. He's communicating with certain fingers that you communicate that you're angry with someone directed at me. He comes up. Now I started to get scared because I had college students with me. He's screaming at my window, like spit flying out of his mouth. It's coming on my window. Finally, I just look at him. I go, okay, if I don't go, I could like get murdered and I have another message to do in the morning. So this would not be a bad thing. I just looked up at him. I just said, I'm going to go. And I put it in a park and I drove out of the park. He already had the spot. It's a time when someone was incredibly angry with me. Now, the time when I was angry with somebody is a little more recent. It's just in the last month. And here's what happened. Every Monday is my day off. It's also my wife's day off. And so we take, on 90% of Mondays, we take a hike mid-morning after we get our boys up and going. We go on a hike together. And we were on a hike, and we were up at the top of the ridge, and I was sharing a story about a conflict that I had gotten, like, pulled into. And was kind of in the middle of it. It wasn't even my, but I got pulled into it. And I shared the story with her, really kind of looking and fishing for support and love, as you might do. And she made a comment that actually really hurt my feelings. And as I thought about it more and more, I felt like she took the other person's side even. And so as we're coming down, I found myself, I don't know if you've been there, I'm getting more quiet. I'm kind of retreating in my own, caught up in my feelings, so to speak. We get down to the end and it's just, it has gotten worse and worse. And then we get later in the day, in the afternoon, and I made a conscious choice because for hours at that point, I had felt hurt and I didn't want to feel hurt anymore because that makes me feel like a victim. And I don't want to feel like a victim. I want to be in control of my emotions. So I made a conscious choice. I chose to be angry. And I chose to kind of like let my anger stew a little bit. And I use this because you've cooked stew or had someone cook stew and you're like, you cook it in a big pot and you season it. You know what I mean? And so I chose to let my anger stew. And it went over from the night into the next day. And the next day, and it was stewing. I could feel that. And I was just, at this point, I kind of retreated. And now we're into a few day little tiff. You ever been in a tiff if you're in marriage? And I'm just like, well, I'm just going to let it stew. It stewed the entire week in me, in my heart. To when the next Monday rolled around, she's going, are we going to go on a hike? And I looked at her, I go, I'm going to go on a hike alone. I don't want to hike with you. Like taking control. She was like, really? So here's the problem. I wasn't really alone. I was with Jesus. So I'm on this hike alone, but really, and I'm talking to Jesus on the way up, and I am, maybe you've never done this, but I felt like I was gossiping to my dear Jesus about my own wife. And I was, and maybe you do this, when you're letting your anger stew, you tell yourself a story in your own mind, and you spin it up. And I was using things like, well, she doesn't even, and she always, and she never, all those like hyperbolic statements. You ever do that? So by the time I got to the top, I felt like I had really made my case that maybe Jesus would be like right here and go, he's gonna do some work in her. And right about at the top where we come to what is normally our prayer spot, that's my prayer spot even when I hike alone, my Lord Jesus, he whispered to me, Tyler, you have the heart of a murderer. It wasn't the first time he's ever said that either. The first time he taught about that type of heart was in the Sermon on the Mount. This is week 4 of a series called The GOAT, which stands for greatest of all time. We're looking at the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus teaches about this relationship that I wrestled with as well. And I bet you have as well. He says this, you've heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder. Anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is what? Angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Look at the end. Subject to judgment, subject to judgment. Jesus is teaching it's not just what you're doing, it's also what you're thinking and what you're feeling that can be judgment worthy. Now this right here, Jesus goes from this point in the Sermon on the Mount, he goes on a riff. And 6 times between like where we ended last week, which was Matthew chapter 5 at verse 20, where he said, actually, your righteousness needs to surpass that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, or else you're not going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. That's the first part of the riff. And then go all the way down to Matthew chapter 5 at verse 48, and everything in between, we're at 5:48, he says, therefore, looking back over the last few verses, therefore, you should be perfect like your heavenly Father is perfect. So between your righteousness needs to surpass that of the Pharisees and be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, 6 times he uses this riff. You've heard it said, but I tell you. You've heard it said, but I tell you. You've heard it said, but I tell you. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you, someone hits you on the cheek, give him the other cheek. You've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for the people that are persecuting you. Remember what we've said? This is week 4. Every week we're saying Jesus is raising the bar for people. And he's pointing us, he's pointing the listeners, he's pointing us to himself as if to say, you need me. You need my help. You can't, You can't live at that level. You can't get over that bar. Remember the high jump bar from week one? You can't get over the bar, but with me, you can get over the bar. You've heard it said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. I just give you a little encouragement right here in the first few minutes. Don't dismiss yourself from this message. Don't opt out. Don't tap out. Don't trick yourself right here at the top into thinking, I'm not an angry person, so this one's not for me. Because you'll notice, I didn't start the message by saying, I have one question. Does anybody here think they're an angry person? Because I know you would have been like, I'm not an angry person. I can kind of tune out. I asked you, can you think of a time when someone was angry with you, and all of you, all of us can think of that. Can you think of a time where you were incredibly angry with someone else, and all of us can think of that? So don't opt out, don't tap out. Listen, let yourself be taught by the teachings of Jesus right here. And this passage that we're about to unpack really kind of boils down to this one big idea. We're gonna hit it multiple times, and here it is. Don't let your anger stew like I did, but seek to reconcile quickly. That's the big idea. It's really a one-point sermon. Don't let your anger stew, but seek to reconcile quickly. There are three parts to the sermon. There are three little passages or paragraphs in what we're studying today, and they really kind of break into different parts of this big idea right here. The first thing we're gonna look at is this one right here. Don't let your anger stew. And the reason why is it does something to our heart. There's a heart issue that happens, and it happens pretty quickly when we do that. The second part we're gonna look at is this right here. Seek to reconcile. That's a priority issue. That one will surprise you. When we get to that section, when Jesus starts teaching on it, I bet you'll be surprised at what he says is a higher priority than something else. And then finally, we're gonna look at this word right here, quickly. That's an urgency issue. See, a heart issue, a priority issue, and an urgency issue. But it all comes back to this big idea right here. Don't let your anger stew, but seek to reconcile quickly. Okay, let's break it down. First part, verse 21. You've heard that it was said the people long ago, you shall not murder. Anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. No observant Jew, no Gentile, probably not us either if we're looking at this. No one hears this and says, we've never heard this before, that you shall not murder. They would hear, you shall not murder, and they would know, oh yeah, that one, that statement right there was one of the 10 what? Commandments. You're good. Nice job. Do you remember which of the 10 commandments it is? Quick little pop quiz, it's the sixth. It's the sixth commandment. You shall not murder. No surprises, but remember, Jesus raises the bar, and he does it in the next verse, look at verse 22. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. The Greek word for angry right there does connote this simmering, stewing anger. The definition of stew is to slowly bring to a boil. Here's a question for you. Put it on the screen. When are you most prone to let your anger stew at someone else? This is your question to think about for you. When are you most prone to let your anger stew at someone? Is it in relationships? Is it a work thing, a school thing, a family thing, a future? Is it security related? Is it extended family? Is it in-laws? Is it spouse? Is it ex-spouse? Is it a gossipy friend? Like, what's the thing where you're most prone, where you're most likely, it just makes your blood boil? To some here, it's gonna be like, oh gosh, anytime we get together in a large family gathering, it happens. And you get in the car and you just go, she did it again. She did it again. She's 100 out of 100. I don't know how she does it, but she always does it. And your anger starts to stew, and then you get 2 days later or 3 days later, and you're still stewing. How does that happen? For some of you, maybe the younger ones among us, you go, gosh, It's summertime. We're 3 weeks out of school. And yet something that she said or that he said or that they posted still hurts you. And so you're letting your anger stew. Like next Sunday is the 4th of July. That's like middle of summer. And your anger is still stewing at something that happened when school was in. I'm not saying it wasn't hurtful. I'm not saying it wasn't wrong. But this, some of you, another example. You have an ex-husband, you have an ex-wife, or maybe something that your current husband or current wife, they did something, they said something. They made a decision. And it is hard not to just let your anger stew, the pain, the hurt, the abandonment, the betrayal. And you've heard the adage, I've heard, time heals all wounds. Does it really on its own? Because I've, 25 years in as a pastor, I've talked to, I've counseled, I've talked with so many people that 10 years later, 15 years later, 20 years later, more, the person is dead, long dead. They just stew their anger. I just go, oh my goodness. Some of us, I had to throw this one in here. You look back over the last year and it's like the anger is stewing at the government or the governor or that group that doesn't think like you or vote like you or talk like you or handle COVID like you. And it's and they've cost you your business so much money and your family so much, and they've affected the health and the mental health of the people that you love, and you just go, When are you most prone to let your anger stew? Now, as you think about that, because you have your own answer just like I do, I've shared one of them. Here's what I know about you. As you're doing this, as you're stewing, I promise you, you feel right about it. You feel right because of the offense to stew your anger. As a matter of fact, it feels so right that letting it go feels wrong. No, it just wouldn't even be right. And this is why Jesus says, no, you gotta get what I'm saying here. Back to the big idea. Don't let your anger stew, but seek to reconcile quickly. We justify it though, we rationalize. That's why I was halfway up the hill, halfway up the mountain, and I was rationalizing to my Lord and Savior about why I was right to do this with my own wife. But we all do it in different ways, in subtle ways. And Jesus says, you don't want to do that. You want to reconcile quickly. Here's why. Just a little side effect before we dive further into the text. Right after the stewing of the anger, what follows really closely on the heels of that and is actually deeper and more problematic? Resentment. A root, not a weed, a root of bitterness can follow right on the heels of that. And so Jesus, he presses in further. He goes to the next verse. He says, again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, raka, is answerable to the court, and anyone who says you fool will be in danger of the fire of hell. Now, in your defense and in my defense, I doubt you that none of us have ever come to a brother or sister or our beloved wife or husband and looked at them and said, raka. And we probably don't even see this, you fool. It's just we don't talk like that anymore. Raka, a very difficult word in the Greek to translate for commentators. It means empty, like blockhead, kind of airhead, blockhead. It means nothing. It's like, and many commentators believe it's actually more of a guttural sound. It's like the sound of gathering spit in your throat, like. Because is there anything worse? Is there anything that sends a message to someone, you're nothing to me, like spitting on them? You fool, even though we probably don't say that very often, we go to something with a little more sting to it. That's the Greek word moros. What English word do you think we get from that? Moron. So modern translation, this is like, you stupid moron. And it's usually more spat than said, like the guy in my window at the parking lot. This is the type of anger Jesus is talking about. Now, is Jesus saying, let's just kind of cut into it a little bit. Is Jesus really saying that anger is the exact same thing as murder? No, I don't believe he is. But what I do believe Jesus is saying, and I want to give you a picture that kind of shows that, I think he's saying this. It's from the same tree. See, lots of people, and the people, the scribes, the Pharisees, the people that he was preaching at in a lot of the Sermon on the Mount, say you're focused on the outside things, the leaves, the tree branches, the bark, the grass. I'm focused on the heart, the internal things, the roots. And he's saying something like this, murder. You say, oh, murder. And we look at that and go, no, I'm not a murderer. So we start to let ourselves off the hook. Like I started to do that this week as I was studying for this own message. Last week's message is about Jesus, you know, believing the Bible to be true. And oh God, that resonates with my heart so much. And I'm gonna preach this one with passion. And I got to this one, it's like murder, anger. I started to dismiss myself. I'm not a murderer, I know that. I'm not really an angry person. Jesus goes, oh really? Well, let me just bring you back a couple of weeks to a talk that we had. And no, you don't do this, but look at this right here. Stewing anger, same tree, see, pastor. Same tree, same. You get a whole DNA of an oak tree in an acorn. Every acorn, the only difference is it's not planted, it's not watered. Same tree. See, one of the big things that's happening here is Jesus is trying to show all of his audience and all of us, we all need his grace. We all need his mercy. We all need forgiveness. We try to dismiss ourselves. I've never done that. I've not murdered. Jesus says, yeah, but the roots are there. It's anger. It's resentment. Stop focusing on this. It's a heart issue. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart. Manage your heart. Everything you do flows from your heart. Attitudes, thoughts, feelings. It also, Jesus, I think, is cautioning us because we love to say, gosh, this is a great message for her. For others. He said, no, they don't need rescue. You need rescue. I need rescue. I need to be saved from my sins, from my own murderous, at times, heart. Okay, let's take a break. We get it. Some of you are going, Pastor, your point is clear. Anger's bad. Now what? Like, so what do we do? Okay, don't do this, but what do we do? And this is why Jesus is such a good teacher, because he immediately follows it with two practical examples. So here's where we've looked. So we started with our big idea, remember? Don't let your anger stew, but seek to reconcile quickly. We've looked at the first part, which is this line right here. Don't let your anger stew. Why? Because it's a heart issue. I let, just to help resolve you this, I want to encourage you that I'm not still in a fight with my wife, we've resolved. But I let myself stew in my anger for a whole week. And how do you think that affected my heart? Not good. So we looked at that part, it's a heart issue. But now we look at the second part, seek to reconcile. Seek to reconcile. And I would say that it took me a little too long to do that. This is a priority issue. Look at the priority that Jesus teaches. Very next paragraph, he says this. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, they would bring a gift, an animal, a lamb to sacrifice. And there, remember, this is at the altar, at the church, that's a temple for them. That your brother or sister has something against you, is stewing, or you're stewing against them. Look at what he says. Leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, there's the priority word, first go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. Interesting priority, right? That might surprise you. Here's the principle. I'll put it another way for you. Reconciling relationships is more important, according to Jesus, than religious rituals. He just said it in a different way. I don't want you to just push this one aside. I want you to understand how this relates to us right now, even today. We don't go to a temple and bring lambs anymore for slaughter. But here are different ways that we worship the Lord. We volunteer. We give God a gift, not of a lamb, but of our time, of our service. We give tithes and offerings. You've worked hard. You've earned money. The Lord has blessed you. And so you give back to him as an act of worship. By the way, this week is the last week in our fiscal year. So thank you. As your pastor, I really do want to say thank you for your generosity to our church. You're an incredible church. And this is one of the ways that you worship, ways that we worship. Here's another thing we do. We worship in a service like this, and we come, you've probably heard this phrase, we give the Lord a sacrifice of praise. And when we do that, we're not just giving him our time, we're not just giving him our money, we're giving him our focus for an hour. We're saying, I'm not focusing on the house, I'm not focusing on the kids, I'm not focusing on the future. Lord, I am focusing on you. This is a sacrifice of praise to you for who you are and what you've done in my life. And others of you, you open up God's word, maybe even on a daily basis, and you pray, and you go, I want to give you, God, the gift of my attention every single day. And Jesus, you go back to what he says, and he says, hold on a second here. Sometimes you think going and bringing the lamb to the temple is like your get out of jail free, just like we think sometimes, wait, but I volunteer and I give and I worship, I spend time. And so we convince ourselves, God doesn't really care, since I'm doing all four of these things, that I go like this. It's okay. He's fine with that because I do these things. And Jesus says, no, reconciling relationships is more important than religious rituals. Look at the priority, leave the lamb, go and be reconciled, then come offer your gift. Leave the lamb, go and be reconciled, then come offer your gift. What that really looks like is it could be a regular occurrence in our church that in the midst of a worship service, we're worshiping, we're giving God our time and attention, the conviction of the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we leave the service, go into the lobby, send a text or make a call to initiate reconciliation, and after doing that, come back in and finish the service, amen? It could mean that we're, put the picture back up, sorry, go back. It could mean that we're volunteering with our small group, but in the midst of a volunteer opportunity, we realize actually there used to be a couple that was in here and we had a little beef, and so we kind of lovingly moved them out of our group and replaced them with someone else. It could be in the midst of this serving opportunity, the conviction of the Lord is going, I did this for a long time against them and it's kind of still there. I should remove myself from the service opportunity. I should make a call. I should send a text. I should schedule a lunch and then rejoin the service opportunity. We say it almost every week when we take communion. Ooh, examine your heart, the Apostle Paul says, before you come to this table. Lord, search me and know my heart. If there's anything in me that needs to change, leave your gift. First go and be reconciled. Then come offer your gift. It's a priority issue. Jesus, so good. So attuned to our human nature. He created us after all, right? He knows that we would hear, or his hearers would hear this and go, okay, I will get to that eventually. Which is why at the very next verse, he says, no, you gotta do it now. You gotta do it now. What's the last word? But seek to reconcile, what is it? Quickly, right now. Look at the next verse. Here's what he says. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who's taking you to court. Do it while you're still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. We'll go to the next one. Truly, I tell you, you'll not get out until you've paid the last penny. There was a thing in Jesus' time called the debtor's prison. And so if you didn't handle that beef between you and your adversary, if you chose to just let your anger stew all the way to meeting the judge in the court, eventually you give that control of the situation over to someone else, and they could throw you into debtor's prison, and it's really hard to earn money to pay off a debt when you're in prison. So Jesus says this, we just go back to those first three words, settle matters quickly. Go and be reconciled quickly. Now, a verse you're probably more familiar with than this one in the Sermon on the Mount. You've probably heard this one. Even if you're not a church person, you may have heard someone quote this before. Ephesians 4, 26 and verse 27, it says, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Here's a simple principle when you're thinking of reconciliation in your own life. Here it is. The longer you wait, the harder it gets. Think about it. The longer you wait, the harder it gets. You have conflict with a family member. You've let the anger stew. It's been 3 months. How much harder is it going to be when it's 3 years? With a parent, with a family member, with a friend. Flip it over. Look at it at a positive standpoint. You probably, everybody here, everybody watching at home, we probably know someone who has an experience with cancer, and we probably know someone who has beaten cancer. And they got the diagnosis, and they would say, well, look, but good news, we found it, what's the word? Early. We found it quickly. Good news, we started treatment early. We started treatment quickly. Same idea, the longer you wait, the harder it gets. And so again, back to the big idea before we wrap up. Don't let your anger stew, but seek to reconcile quickly. It's a one-point sermon. All right, a couple minutes left. Let me just pastor for a minute. Is that okay? Because there's still, I think that when you think of that idea of reconcile, we get this. We don't want to do this. How tangibly, practically do we reconcile? Like, what does that look like? I just want to cover a couple different groups that I believe exist in our church. One is, I bet you there's a lot of marriages represented here and watching online who you're on the brink. You're on the brink, honestly. And the tools that you need to reconcile with one another or to reconcile quickly or regularly, we have environments here where you can have access to those tools pretty easily. I want to give you two. Number one is our counseling center, CPCC, Community Presbyterian Counseling Center. Making that call, initiating that, would help you to learn how to reconcile and reconcile quickly. And another option that you might not know about is we have couples in our church, they tend to be older and a little more experienced and seasoned in life, who are marriage mentors. They've been through the highs and the lows. They've followed the Lord. They've studied the scriptures. They've gleaned from other people. And now they're literally waiting to be a friend to you, to shepherd you through difficult seasons. We have marriage mentors. Someone here could go, I need to call. We need to call the counseling center this week. Someone else should say, we need to call or email the church and say, can you help me be paired? Can you help us be paired with a marriage mentor couple? There are perhaps many others that are not married or not experiencing marital conflict, but you know what it's like to do this, and you know what it's like to be angry incredibly with someone else, and you know what it's like to have someone else be angry with you. So that can get really awkward, huh? How do we reconcile? Let me just give you three. These are just, they're going to come fast, but I think they'll make sense. I think they'll be helpful. Here's the first one. Be willing to cross the room. Be willing to cross the room. Let's be honest. This is a great community. It's like a small town, isn't it? So when you have a little beef with somebody, to be willing to cross the room, to get up and go to the, you see someone, you see that, you see him in a restaurant. And you go, man, yeah, we had something. And you want to look away, you want to walk away, you want to head out in the back door. I've done that before. But you're willing to walk across the room and say, hey, I saw you over here. I just want to say hello. That is awkward to do that. But when you do that, when you walk up to someone, you're willing to cross your room, what does that do? It says at least two things. Number one, it says this, you're not nothing to me. It says at least that. And it also says, I don't want to let it stew anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. Maybe it's, there's so many like, and I'm in kind of on the tail end of the season in our life, raising our boys, but the kids' sports community around here creates rivalries, and there are parent and team. Walk across the room, walk across the field, walk across the restaurant. Some of you, you're in a grocery store, you see her like five aisles away, and you're like, I'm not going to aisle 13 anytime soon. I'm going this way. No, it is awkward, but you don't need to duck and cover because of this. You've learned from Jesus. Now you can walk over and say, you know what, I saw you over here. I just wanted to say hi. And what does that solve it? Does that, you're fully reconciled? No, but it's at least you're not nothing to me, and I don't want us to do this. That's number one. Be willing to cross the room. Here's a second one. Look to reconnect where? Like, how do we reconnect? What are the entry points relationally? Joys and pains. Joys and pains. Let me give you an example. Joy. I heard you're a grandma. Congratulations. I know it has been a while for us, but I heard you're a grandma. I want you to know I'm praying for you. I hope you enjoy this season. That's, you're not nothing to me, and it's not good for us to do this. I don't want to do this. Joys. Pain. Bro, I heard you lost your dad. That's brutal. It's brutal. I'm praying for God's peace for you. Now, are you fully reconciled? No. But have you sent a message? Have you stopped doing? Yes. This is good. And the more quickly, the more regularly we do it, the better. I'm gonna give you a third one and we'll wrap up. I'm gonna pray for you. Be willing to own your part. Now, finally, when the Lord dealt with me and was like, really? So you did this towards your own wife for a week now, and then sent the not so subtle message, oh no, I'm gonna go hike alone, when you hike together every single, be willing to own your own part. Even if you think it was like 10%, 20%, whatever it is, you know what? I know this is awkward, it's been awkward. I'm sorry for the part that I played in that. I was thinking about this, almost comically, I was like, I've replayed this one in my mind so many times, and I just go, I did nothing wrong. And the Lord's like, well, dig a little bit deeper. And I go, so maybe, and I didn't get to reconcile with this guy because he was gonna kill me, but maybe like, maybe this look right here, like, maybe that didn't need to happen. Like, maybe I just stay put. Maybe that set him off a little bit. Like, be willing to own your part. 10%, 20% in the midst of a full conversation. That's all. But the big idea is what it is. Don't let your anger stew. It's the same tree, man. But seek to reconcile quickly. Amen? Let's stand and we'll pray and we'll be on our way this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for a church where we can stand and be led by a group of kids and kids leaders, and the children of our church can lead us to your cross, Jesus, can lead us to your throne room, Jesus, can remind us of your goodness, of your power, of your joy. And yet, Lord, we thank you for just the faithfulness of your word. As we march through this series called The Goat, the Sermon on the Mount, we also recognize that, yeah, the next topic, the next paragraph in it was about anger management. And Lord, we confess, we are quick to excuse ourselves from this topic. So Lord, thank you for your patience with us. Thank you for your conviction that your Holy Spirit can bring. I pray that you would encourage us by your Holy Spirit as we hear this, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart and a mind to understand what you want us to do with this message. Maybe it's just stopping letting our anger stew against that person or that group. Maybe it's reconciling. Maybe it's being a little bit quicker. I don't know, Lord. I trust you through the power of the Holy Spirit to deal with us as you please. But God, we pray, as you do, as you prompt us, would you give us a sensitivity, a humility, a courage to respond to you, to respond to you. Help us to look more like you, Jesus, in the way that we learn to manage in a godly way the anger. Lord, remind us, it's probably not a sin to get angry, to be angry in spots, but it is to stay angry. So Lord, help us to be people who reconcile. You've given us the ministry of reconciliation. Help us to live that out in our hearts, in our lives, in our relationships, in our church, and in our community. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.